AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a deadly start to the work week in North Carolina.
Three workers were killed and two were hurt when scaffolding collapsed at a construction site in Uptown Charlotte. Jackie Gilmore is a captain with the Charlotte Fire Department.
Right now, the Charlotte Fire Department is securing the scene. All construction work at this construction site has come to a complete stop until the investigation is concluded.
State and federal investigators are at the site of the accident. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Northern Californians are bracing for a new storm system on the heels of torrential rain, high winds, and heavy snow that pounded the region over the weekend. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is in Elk Grove.
First responders rescued at least a dozen stranded drivers from the air and through the floodwaters that turned deadly for at least one person near the town of Wilton.
A person was found deceased who had been trying to drive through the water.
Across Northern California, neighborhoods have been submerged while landslides blocked roadways. Powerful wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour downed trees, causing power outages for tens of thousands.
Russia's defense ministry claims 63 of its soldiers have been killed by a Ukrainian strike on a facility in the eastern Donetsk region. The BBC's Hugo Bucega has details from Kyiv.
The Ukrainian army say they attacked a school that was being used as a base by Russian forces. The local authority, appointed by Russian officials, has confirmed that this attack took place, saying that it was a massive blow.
And Ukraine has now taken responsibility for that attack. Thousands of people have been filing past the body of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI at St. Peter's Basilica, among them Father George Ngosa, who traveled from Zambia.
It's a beautiful experience, but also it's humbling for me, as a priest to get to have this experience in Rome.
Benedict died Saturday at the age of 95. In Brazil, they're saying goodbye to Pelé.
Every single time I've tried to do it privately.
Thousands of mourners have begun paying respects in a procession past his coffin on midfield at Vila Belmiro Stadium in his hometown of Santos. The three-time World Cup winner died Thursday after a battle with cancer. And Prince Harry telling CBS's 60 Minutes just why he chose to spill the beans on the royal family in his new memoir, Spare.
Every single time I've tried to do it privately, there have been briefings and leakings and planting of stories against me and my wife.
Harry tells Britain's ITV he wants to have his father and brother back, but he also wants a family and not an institution. Markets are closed for the holiday. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a...
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nadnir with your headlines. There's one less Republican running in Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Senator Randy Hopper has dropped out and endorsed Representative Dan Noddle. Hopper says he doesn't want to be a spoiler and risk Republicans' chances of holding the seat in the general election. In addition to Noddle, State Rep. Janelle Branchon, Beansville Village President Van Mobley, and Concordia University student Roger Albrightson also in the running. Attorney Jody Habish-Sinkin is the only Democrat who's filed to run for the seat being vacated by GOP Senator Albert to Darling. Meanwhile, GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told the Cap Times last week he doesn't believe Janelle Branchon is fit to serve in the 8th Senate District. He recently stripped Branchon of her post leading the Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections after she spent months promoting election deniers and supporting an illegal effort to decertify the 2020 presidential election. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Wisconsin, thank you for joining us in the 1 o'clock last hour of our first show of 2023. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And a reminder that if you like our show, like Paul Newton likes our show, to tell your friends.
And can I just say how much fun it is having Paul on? Because, and all of our pundits are wonderful, but Paul speaks to people like me who do not really follow, you know, I'm not deep into sports. I'm a fan, but he really breaks things down and explains it to people so I can understand.
And he's obviously, because I feel like so often with the interviews that we want to do, the best interviews on this show combine playfulness with information.
And absolutely.
I feel like he does a very good job with us. Obviously someone who writes parody songs, has a pretty good sense of humor.
And this last one was darn good.
I need to go listen to the whole thing because I didn't know that there was a whole song. So now I got to listen to them. That'll be my tunes for the ride home.
Okay.
But yes, tell your friends. Listen, if you can't listen to the whole show every day, we always have it as a podcast to listen to later. But we could obviously use your support as we are growing the audience for this show. We put a lot of work into it to try to make it informational, educational, entertaining, and it's always more fun if there's more people contributing to the conversation. And that only happens by having more people listening to the conversations that were happening. So any support you can give us there by just sharing it on any social media, we would really appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
And, you know, we talked a little bit last Thursday with Dr. Mike about resolutions and not getting too hung up on new year, new me, all of this stuff, because it sometimes just sets yourself up for failure. So when I saw this headline, I was like, oh, maybe this is stuff that we can get on board with. Because I went into this year, so I we're going to have a whole segment tomorrow on dry January and alcohol. So Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record is going to be here because they're doing their second annual NA Fest.
Cool.
So on this Saturday, January 7th, I think it's back at Boone and Crockett. I have to look at this, look it up. He's going to be here to talk about the event itself. But I went to it last year, and you know, in the spirit of Dry January, all the different things that you can buy that are NA, non-alcoholic, right?
But tasty.
And it's come a long way. There's things that obviously like kombucha and seltzer water and stuff like that. But the how far breweries have come with non-alcoholic beer and how good they taste. And I know less about non-alcoholic spirits and how good those taste. Like, I think I haven't, it's still sitting on open, so maybe we'll crack that open. My mom gave, I think this was a year ago, non-alcoholic bourbon, because that's usually my vice. And I haven't tried it yet, but someone said, they're like, you can't drink it like bourbon, because I drink bourbon with like a ice cube. And I think it's better for a mix. Like if you're going to make an NA cocktail to give the
illusion of bourbon. But we're also going to talk more about how to stick to dry January if you're doing it, which I am. And in general, I think people's attitudes changing around alcohol, especially for younger people.
Definitely.
There's more people who are choosing not to drink at all. And so that will be tomorrow in the last hour. But one of the things I am sticking to is not drinking this month. And I want to try to see how that affects my mood, affects how tired I am. I want to be ambitious and say I'm going to try to cut out sugar, too. We have friends who do the Whole 30. Do you know what the Whole 30 is?
I don't.
Whole 30 is no grains, no sugar, no alcohol, no dairy for like a whole month. I've done it once.
I would jump off the roof of my house the second day I had to do that.
And I just feel like I'm too busy right now to do like the meal prep and everything to make sure. Because if you think about the convenience food, and now I don't mean fast food. I mean food that is convenient. All of that stuff usually has some kind of preservatives in it, so it's on the run. Like, even today, Mike tried to remind me. He's like, make a salad before you leave. Because my big problem is I'm not a breakfast person. But I can't be a lunch person because we're on air until 2.
Right.
So then it's like, oh, do I eat
at 2:30?
Like 2:33, which is pretty close to dinner at that point. And so I'm trying to figure that out. And he's like, make a salad. Bring it with you. And I was like, that takes time. I'm prepping for the show in the morning. So, you know, all of this stuff is... In our busy lives, it's harder to make the healthy choices.
Because
so,
it takes time.
It does take time. And so I'm trying not to overcommit myself on building new habits and having these expectations that I am going to be a healthier person.
But one at a time.
The intention is there.
Yeah.
But so when I saw this, I was like, oh, this could maybe I could get bored with. So this is from The Guardian. And it's 100 ways to slightly improve your life without really trying. So since we have, how many weekdays, how many shows will we have in January? Somewhere around 20, 21, 22. So I was like, oh, we'll give 5 a day. In one of the segments, we can discuss if we think those are easy things and if it's something that we can commit to or not. And so 100 ways to slightly improve your life. This is published by The Guardian. And the first 5. Go with the first one. Exercise on Monday nights, because nothing fun happens on Monday nights anyways. I've heard that one before. It's like,
have you?
Just commit to at least working out on Monday to start the week off, and then it can set the good intentions for the rest of the week. So when I leave Waukesha today, I'm going to go to the gym. I actually did do my stretching when I woke up this morning.
Good.
But I am going to go on Monday and do something at the gym. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. And so that feels like an easy one. Could you commit to a walk on a Monday?
I can commit to a walk on a Monday, and I will do that. I will do that today. After I'm out of here, I'm going to go walk around downtown Waukesha and go through Frame Park.
Ooh.
And my goal will be 40 minutes.
I like that. My goal was going to be 30 minutes on some kind of cardio machine while I listen to a podcast or something. All right, that's number one.
Okay.
You can feel free to let us know if you think these are easy things that don't take a lot of effort that you could commit to slightly improve your life.
Or maybe what you're doing that's a relatively easy thing.
That too. 844-967-2789. All right, number two. On the fence about a purchase, wait 72 hours before you buy it.
Easily doable.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
I'm not a big impulse buyer.
Amazon makes it very easy.
That's true.
Like, I need this thing. You get it. It's there. But
put it in your cart.
But I. So wait 72 hours if you still want it. Then go
for
it. That seems fine. All right. Number three. I don't understand this one. So number three is reminder that The Guardian is British. It's a British publication. So this could be something that is cultural that I don't understand. But number three is... Tip, the quickest supermarket queue line is always behind the fullest trolley. Greeting, pain, and packing take longer than you think. I don't understand that.
That makes no sense to me.
So the fastest supermarket line is always behind the fullest
cart.
Trolley. Oh.
It's a cart. It's a grocery cart.
So I think they're saying don't be skewed thinking that you don't want to get behind the cart that has the most stuff in it. Because like, oh, this is going to take forever. They have so much stuff. Because I think they're saying along, like, if, like the think about like the 15 items or less line. That's all. A lot of that's self-serving now at any Kroger stores. But the idea that saying hi to someone, paying that person paying, like packing up their stuff. So even one very full cart is going to take shorter than more smaller carts. I think that's what they mean.
I dispute that.
All right. Anyways, number four. Bring fruit to work. Bring fruit to bed.
Okay. I did this one year. And I made
Which one? Both?
I made it my goal to take a piece of fruit to work every day. And here's what happened. I would take my orange to work. I would bring my orange back home from work. I would take it the next day and bring it home again. And I would do that until Friday, at which point I would throw away the orange. So I found I liked my orange to travel before I threw it away.
Sounds like my books. How many times I've moved.
If you don't want, forcing yourself to eat something is really difficult. I find it's really difficult.
I feel like orange takes too much work. Peeling an orange is like, and then you have all this like refuse. You got to figure out what to do. I feel like I could get down with a banana. Like it's one peel and then you throw it away.
Okay.
And an apple if I was going to bring fruit to work. But
it's got to be cut up.
Fair. All right. And then the fifth one for today, we'll come back. We're going to do five of these every day. So you can look forward to it. This one I feel like is not an option. Certainly not an option for us as of right now. But for some people, if it is an option, I can understand why it might be recommended. Consider going down to 4 days a week. It's likely a disproportionate amount of your fifth day's work is taxed anyway. So you'll lose way less than a fifth of your take-home pay.
I just don't know how many people can do that.
I know. That's what I was like, this is an interesting, and maybe again, because this is British, because I think England's one of the countries that's like, there's more and more places that are experimenting with going down to 4 days or giving the option to do 4 days.
Sure.
And I think I understand, because I do think that the weekends are too short. And in this lifestyle of, if you're in a relationship, both parties are working. Because I feel like so often of what the 40-hour work week, 40-plus hour work week has been, was originally created with the mindset that one of the two of you are staying home.
Definitely.
And so the full-time job it is to actually run a house and keep it clean and do the laundry and do the groceries and like do all those things you were saying as far as like having a healthy meals made and stuff like that. Like that is work.
That's a job.
And in now where most people have to work, having one more day that you're not doing your paid job so you can do your errands and the house stuff without having to sacrifice time to spend with actually like friends and family and like has do leisure activities. And so granted, I don't know if anyone can do that. I mean, not everyone can do that, but I understand the sentiment that if you can do it,
oh yeah,
it might be worth the sacrifice of the extra money. Because the way you're going to get taxed, it doesn't equate anyways. And so you are getting more time. It's a better exchange rate as far as your time versus one more day's pay of work. All right. Well, we'll do that for the rest of the month. Like most New Year's resolutions, we'll do it for this month. And stick around. We're going to talk about Christmas trees and Christmas decorations when we come back. And what do you do with yours? And when do you take it down? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 38. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows around 34. Overcast tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 46. 1 to 2 inches of snow Wednesday through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Happiest Christmas tree, ho ho ho, he he he. Look how pretty they dress me, oh lucky, lucky me. I got shiny bells that jingle and tiny lights that tingle. Whenever anyone passes by, I blink my lights and I wink my eyes.
Oh, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere. So you admitted at the beginning of the show that you've already taken down your Christmas stuff.
I took everything down except for the outside lights yesterday. And this is earlier than I would normally do it. I just felt like, eh. So my husband, who is English, his mother had many superstitions.
Okay.
And one of them is you cannot do laundry on New Year's Day because it will wash away all your good luck. So since I couldn't get any laundry done yesterday, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm just hanging around. Why don't I just start taking down all the stuff? So I did.
Well.
And now it's kind of sad. I mean,
I'm
glad it's done. But at the same time, even my husband said, it's just so dark and gloomy in here now. Without the sparkling lights and the tinsel and all that stuff.
Well, and that's... So I would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. What is the right time to take down your Christmas stuff? Because it's past New Year's. I think last year, I'm pretty sure we had our tree up until like April.
Now,
and that wasn't purposeful. It wasn't like, versus my opinion this year of feeling like, no, we should just leave it up. So this is the most decorated our house has been. Thank you, Debbie Bry. With more stuff than just the tree. I think in the last 2 years since Mike and I started dating, we had a Christmas tree. That was kind of it. We didn't have stuff outside.
Sure.
Lights outside. We didn't have, we now have, I think we have 6 different Santas. And we had like a little other Christmas tree and a sleigh and snowman. Dishes. My mom had put fake garland on all of our curtain rods.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, with a little red ornament hanging in all of it. It looks great. The house looks great right now. And before it was just the tree. And I think last year we didn't take down the tree right away because, and I don't even mean right away, I mean until spring, because of laziness. But now I feel like I'm in on the team of if you take down the other stuff, fine. If you take down the garland and we put the Santas away, mm-hmm. and we put some of the other like gifts and stuff away. But in Wisconsin winters, there is so little to look forward to in the winter. It is so dark, and having a bright lit Christmas tree, I feel like, can spread a little bit more joy into the springtime. And I feel like I'm on team keep this thing till spring solstice.
And you can change it for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
and green lights for St. Patrick's Day.
So I don't know, the redressing of lights feels like a lot of work.
Like, and it is.
I feel like the taking down the white lights and then doing pink lights.
Well,
and then doing green lights. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do
that. Okay, well, how about leave the white lights and add some red lights? And then you can take the red lights off and then you add green lights.
We could maybe do that.
Right?
We could maybe do
that. That's workable.
But I feel like, yeah, I feel like I'm on team, like, let's keep the tree up. It brings joy. It's not taking up. We have a fake tree. So it's not like it's taking up. We have to water it or it's going to become a fire hazard,
right?
Because we don't have, you know, because it's getting dried out and there's needles are getting everywhere. So I feel like there's some logistics to people who are like, get this thing out of my house. The dry needles are getting everywhere and it doesn't smell as good as it did. We got to move on. But with the fake tree, I feel like there's no problem to just keep it up for a little while. And so I think that's what we're going to do.
I don't think there's a problem with that.
And so if you would like to argue with me and tell me why I should take it down and kill my vibe, I'm here. I'm here to hear your argument.
You're welcome to call in.
844-967-2789. Or just tell us, like, what do you do? Like, what is your process of being like, all right, it's time? Because I feel like there's a chance, like I said, with Dry January, that potentially this weekend some of the other Christmas stuff will come down. But I think I'm going to leave the tree up.
Actually, today as I was coming in to Waukesha, one of the local churches, they were dragging three trees out. And I have a good friend who, day after Christmas, it's gone.
Really?
It's gone.
And is that just because it's time to move on or because they're over Christmas? Because some people, I guess, you know, if they don't like Christmas and you feel like an obligation to actually keep it up or like put one up at all.
No, she loves Christmas. I think it's been up for 3.5 weeks. It's already been up for almost a month. And it's so much work that it's just like, I just want it done now.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to worry about it anymore.
All right. Well, I'm squarely, and this is probably gonna be news to Mike. I don't know if he knows that I'm like, no, let's just keep it up until when is daylight savings time? When do we go back?
Oh man,
days?
I think that's March.
Yeah. I feel like until then, there's less light in our lives. So let's keep the lights on the Christmas tree. That's my stance. All right. Well, we're gonna take another break, but when we come back, what happens to all those Christmas trees? I have a little bit more information on all those trees that never were bought in the lot. What happens to your real Christmas tree once you put it on the curb? Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm the happiest Christmas tree. A Christmas day, wait and see. I'll be laughing happily with a ho, 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 hee, hee.
With a hey and a he and a ho, ho. With a he and a ho and a ha, ha.
Someone came and they found me and took me home with them.
Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree.
Ho, 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 hee, hee, hee. Look how pretty they dress me, oh, lucky, lucky me. I got shiny bells that jingle and tiny little lights that tingle. Whenever anyone passes by, I blink my lights and I wink my eye. Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree. Christmas Day, wait and see. I'll be laughing happily with a ho, 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 hee, hee.
With a hey and a hee and a ho, ho, he and a ho and a...
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Three workers were killed and two others hurt in an accident at a construction site in Charlotte. Officials say scaffolding collapsed at the site this morning. Jackie Gilmore is chief of the city's fire department.
All construction work at this construction site has come to a complete stop until the investigation has concluded.
This new year brought intense flooding to parts of California. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti from hard-hit Elk Grove.
First responders rescued at least a dozen stranded drivers from the air and through the floodwaters that turned deadly for at least one person near the town of Wilton.
2023 has not brought a lull in fighting between Russia and Ukraine. Over the weekend, Ukrainian forces fired rockets at Russian troops in the Donetsk region. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker from London.
The Ukrainians claim 400 Russian troops died in this attack. The Russians put the casualty figure at 63.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The new year officially begins for the Wisconsin legislature tomorrow. Inauguration Day is largely for ceremony. However, the governor will deliver his State of the State speech on the 24th and his budget address on February 15th. Governor and lawmakers will decide what to do with a projected budget surplus of about $6.6 billion. Hundreds of high schoolers from Wisconsin march in the Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena, California today. 400 students from 8 Central Wisconsin high schools make up the Northwoods Marching Band. They've been practicing over the last year. In sports, the Green Bay Packers beat the Minnesota Vikings last night 41-17. Green Bay makes the playoffs if they beat Detroit next week. Also last night, the Wizards beat the Bucks. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. If you have missed any part of today's show, it was a fun one. So you can listen to it as a podcast wherever you find podcasts or on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, where we keep all the show notes and links to the different articles that we were talking about so you can go check it out yourself. And you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We actually have a caller right now. Karina, how you doing?
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So I did heard about the Christmas tree, that it's not a good sign. It's like a bad sign to keep the Christmas tree for too long, or after the Christmas you have to get rid of it. Well, I know for sure what we do in Russia, and as you said, I absolutely agree. It's kind of gloomy in the winter. And what we do, we don't have a Christmas before the New Year because of the Orthodox Church, and the Christmas is in January.
Mm.
But we do have a New Year tree, and we keep it for another 2 weeks because of the change of a calendar. we celebrate two New Years, the New Year and the Old New Year, which happens in 2 weeks because they changed the calendar in the end of the 19th century. So the Orthodox Church changed the calendar and said, okay, fine, we have to change it by the moon, by the star, three wise men. That's how it goes, so we have to change the date. Catholic side of the deal, under the Pope, said, we don't really care. 25th of December is not really his birthday anyway, so we're not going to change it. So now that side of the deal have Christmas stabled, and the Easter is changing all the time. In the Orthodox, both dates are changed, Christmas and the Easter, because it's all by the lunar calendar. But make it short, we keep the tree for 2 weeks. And I really like your idea, guys. And I actually had something similar, but my ex-husband didn't allow me to do it. He said that I'm too silly. I was thinking by artificial tree and put a silver and white ornament. But before that, to put like a blue and green and pink and red and white, all separate lights. So basically, you can even do the 4th of July. You just turn on all three of them.
So basically, unplugging the different colors depending on what time of year it is.
Right. But my ex-husband said that I'm too silly.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for the call, Karina.
Thanks, Karina.
It's super interesting to learn what... Because so she was saying that you don't do... They didn't do the pre-Christmas tree, like in December?
No. They do a New Year's tree.
That's interesting.
And again, the Orthodox Church has, as she said, different dates and different calendar that's used. And so even Serbia, I worked with a guy who was of Serbian background, and they celebrated with the Orthodox.
Okay.
So.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm not alone. I think I'm not alone in the let's keep it up, whether it's for laziness or for light.
I think Karina's onto something with just have multicolored strands there, and then you can just light up the one that's appropriate.
So what would you need? So you could always have white lights.
Mm-hmm.
So then for, once you take all the ornaments off, so you would have, so the next one, we're just following the calendar of Walgreens seasonal aisle, what comes
perfect.
Next. And so then so you'd have to have white, and then for the next one for Valentine's,
is red.
I think we can get away with just white and red. You wouldn't need pink too.
No, you don't need pink.
So then, moving on to March, it could be St. Patrick's Day,
and you got green.
And you could use white and green. So we've got three colors so far. April for Easter, it's very pastel-y.
I'm thinking pink.
So we do have pink. So we could do pink and white. So then for Valentine's Day, we could have red and pink. Then May.
How about gold?
Yeah.
Yellow makes me think of daffodils.
We could just do maybe like blue and white for like May and June. And then for July, you have the red, white, and blue.
We're back.
And then maybe it's time to take it down.
But now you're only a couple months away.
That's true. That's so funny. No. But yeah, I think there's an argument to be made there.
There's possibilities. Yeah, there's possibilities.
I like it. So here's a stat that I thought was interesting, and I don't know how they measure this, but what would be your guess as far as Christmas trees that are displayed in households in America? Like the number.
The number of Christmas, live Christmas trees?
No, it can be either.
All Christmas trees.
All Christmas trees.
Let's see, we have 330 million people in this country. I will say there are 150 million Christmas trees.
So I feel like that would have been a better guess. I read where I read this, it's a 94 million, which is a lot of trees.
It is a lot of trees.
It's a lot of trees. But there was a part of me that feels like with how dominant Christmas feels, because I feel like people who aren't necessarily religious do Christmas. I feel like even Jewish people... Because it's become such a commercialized season,
right?
Versus just the birth of Christ, like religious holiday. So when I heard 94, and I don't know where that's fact checked or how you even measure it, I was like, oh, that feels lower than I would have expected. But it's about, for real trees, it's about 30 million per year,
which is still a lot.
It's a lot of trees. And it's in reality how many go unsold from the lot, that the ones that get cut down and then don't get don't actually get picked up by anyone. And so I thought this was interesting as far as what happens to them. It's not revolutionary. I mean, they just basically get turned into mulch.
They grind them up.
They grind them up. And that's basically what happens if in any of the programs that are in your municipality, as far as the picking up of trees, that's largely what happens to them as well, is that the programs are partnered with different cities and be able to pick them up and turn them into different kinds of mulch. But it's interesting because depending on what's the need in the city, so like in San Diego and certain California cities, it's like helps with like the beaches, as far as like beaches receding and having like putting the mulch down, or putting them in different like ponds or lakes and stuff like that, because it's good for the aquatic life.
Okay.
And so depending on the region or the city and what the needs are, that mulch does get recycled. It's not just trees don't get just thrown away.
Good.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's nice to know.
And so yeah. But then if you have a fake tree, I think there's also something that I saw that I have not read yet as far as the right way to clean and store your fake Christmas tree, which I have not read. So I probably should read that since we are owners of a fake Christmas tree.
I'm just trying to think of how many wrong ways there are. What are people doing to these trees?
Well, I'm trying to imagine if there's like, especially because there's a way of cleaning it. So maybe if you're supposed to like dust it in some way and like wipe down the branches so that like dirt and grime and stuff doesn't accumulate on the tree.
That is, I'm totally never doing that.
Do you have a fake tree?
Yes. We had a real one for, you know, we would get a real one for years and years and years. And then the last couple of years, I went to small fake trees. And then last year, my sister gave me a really tall, really skinny tree.
Okay.
That's in three pieces. And it fits perfectly in one corner. And I only have to decorate the front half of it, which I love. Except again, because I'm from Wisconsin, when people came over on Christmas Day, I said, don't look at the back of the tree because there are no ornaments back there.
So you had to announce it?
I spilled my own guts. It was ridiculous.
Did you know that you were going to do that, or did it just come out?
It just kind of flew out. Welcome to my house. Here's the burn hole in my rug.
That was great. I feel like for a little while, I saw this done a couple different times on just funny short videos, was how my mom thinks guests will come over. So that it would be an act out of someone, you know, walking into the front door and saying, hi, hi, hi. And then immediately sprinting up to every upstairs bedroom to like look and make sure that the beds are made and make sure like everything's clean, because you know how your mom is. You're like, we have guests coming over. They're going to look at the closet.
They're going to be everywhere.
The assumption that your guests are very concerned with how clean your house is.
Well, I want to know now, 844-967-2789. Do you clean your fake Christmas tree? Do you actually take a rag and wipe it down every year? I put a garbage bag over mine.
I'm not sure we've ever cleaned it in the past.
I've never, ever heard of that.
But it kind of makes sense. Like, you think about how much dirt, like we got a air purifier for our wedding. Have not set it up yet. But I've heard once you set those things up and you see how much gets trapped in the filter, like how gross it actually is.
Well,
like in the air that you're breathing, that like there's like dust particles and all the stuff that's actually in the air. And so if you think about that on any, you know, think about any surface, or why this is why you dust. And so the attempt that it's a surface like any bookshelf. And so if you should wipe it down once a year before you go stick it in the garage,
okay,
or the basement or the attic.
Here's what I'm going to do.
All right, what are you going to do?
I'm going to get my blow dryer. And I'm just going to blow dry it.
Why would you blow dry it instead of vacuum it?
Because it's easier.
Is it?
And I'm just going to blow off all the dust and then put a garbage bag over it and put it in the basement.
That's what I wish we could do with Cliff. Are there things that exist?
Cliff, your dog.
Cliff, my chihuahua, who sheds his weight in fur almost daily, and it's everywhere because he's white. And just, and I, as someone who likes to wear a lot of dark black colors, I just, everything is constantly covered, and I've just accepted that this is
your life.
This is our life. But I've wondered, because we brush them, but it's just, it's never ending. And so I feel like, do they make either a vacuum? He'd be terrified of it. He would hate me for trying to do this to him. But I have to imagine that all of the different solutions that have come up in pet owning and trying to deal with the hair problem, that either a pet vacuum of some sort or a blow dryer that just blows the hair off of them, one of those two things has to exist, as far as like, let me just suck this, all the excess hair out of you.
But you know, as soon as you do that, he's going to walk away and shake, and 400,000 new little hairs are going to come off of him.
Could I shave him? Could I just shave?
You could. He's a chihuahua. I want to shave him. But I feel your pain. Barkley was a short-haired dog as well, and they're like little needles, and they spear into fabric.
Into fabric, yeah.
And even Barkley's been gone for a year and a half now, and when we had company for Christmas, I put throws over the couch because I have vacuumed that couch 47 times since he's been gone, and you can still sit on it and get Barkley's fur all over you.
That's
it's just part of life.
Well, I saw that. We'll end here. This is kind of a meandering segment, but that's fine. I feel like this could probably be a topic for another day to be debated. But I saw a tweet that was like, I hate it when pet owners don't let their pets on certain pieces of furniture or upstairs. And, you know, their entire life is consumed. Their entire life is spent in your home, and you're already limiting that. And you're like adding additional limits to where they can and cannot be. Like,
more
if you don't want pet hair on your furniture, don't get a pet. And I say this as someone who just complained about Cliff, but like, I've embraced it. He's allowed everywhere. I don't want him on our new blanket. I just got in a fight with Mike about that. So we got this new nice blanket for Christmas, and I was like, I just want this for me. He's like, come on. I was like, he's allowed everywhere else. There's just this one dark gray blanket that doesn't need to be covered in Cliff hair.
Where are you going to use it that he can't get to you?
Nowhere. He's already on it.
Well,
and he loves it. So,
and it's now Cliff's blanket.
It's now Cliff's blanket. Because we have one that matches his color. He doesn't like that one as much.
Of course
he doesn't.
They are the joys of our life.
They are. All right. Well, we're going to take one more break and then come up and wrap up today's show, the first show of 2023. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 39 this afternoon under cloudy skies. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Isolated rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 34. Overcast. Isolated rain showers likely tomorrow. 41. Cloudy skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow Wednesday through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic we think we should cover or an idea for a guest we should have on, if you have feedback, shoot us an email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. We have taken a lot of the suggestions that we've gotten.
We have.
We don't always know everyone in Wisconsin who would be interesting to, shocker.
As many people as you know, you do not yet know everyone in Wisconsin.
I do not. And so we have, you know, a lot of fun things planned, but always want to hear from you as far as things that we may not know about that are super interesting.
What's going on in your community that you want us to help highlight?
Exactly. So asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Now, a year ago on New Year's Eve, we lost a legend. Betty White died December 31st, 2021.
That's right.
And then almost exactly a year later, on December 30th, 2022, another legend who was almost as old as Betty, Barbara Walters, passed away in her home in New York at 93. And we were at, oh, it was intermission at the Ghostbusters at the Symphony.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, it was excellent. It was so fun. And I went to the bathroom and I checked my phone. And the notification started rolling in, and you know, life well lived, but it was a little sad,
yeah,
because I obviously am too young to know the heyday of her really impressive journalism career, of the interviews that she did, and I knew that, but really I remember when she started The View. And kind of how groundbreaking for the U.S. markets. Now, people might, the version of The View today, I think probably some people have opinions on. It's still on air, so obviously it's doing well enough that it hasn't gotten canceled.
Right.
But I remember when it first came on, of just the varying opinions and the different age ranges and everything. And every day I ever had a sick day from school, I would watch that. And so that was my first memory of who she was and her creating that show. But obviously, that was near the end of an already unbelievable career.
Yes.
And the glass ceiling she broke. I mean, because she was already working. I don't know if she was on TV yet, but she was already like working as a full-time journalist before you or my parents were even born. And so that was pretty early on to be a woman having the audacity to ask the questions that she was asking and to not take no for an answer.
Definitely.
And be as, I don't know if pushy is the right word, but like the...
She didn't give up though.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I feel like the amount, and she said this, I actually saw this, I said, this was a quote from her, how do you say goodbye to something like 50 years in television? How proud when you see... How proud when you see all the young women who are making and reporting the news. If I did anything to help make that happen, that is my legacy. From the bottom of my heart, to all of you whom I've worked with and to all who have watched and been on my side, I can say thank you. And truly, I mean, I think Katie Couric wrote a piece in the New York Times. I'm sure Diane Sawyer, I think Diane Sawyer kind of splits the age difference between the two of them. But in that article, is like, she was competitive. Not only just with other women, but like in general of like the competition to get those exclusive interviews and the disappointment that you feel when one does better than the others, because that's it's the media is the media and ratings are ratings. But truly, and you pulled a clip as far as her co-anchor who didn't particularly like anchoring with her, right?
Harry Reasoner was notably not welcoming to Barbara Walters.
And it's funny because how it's one thing, and I'm sure that happens all the time behind the scenes, right? Of like you work with people, you work in radio, TV, podcast, whatever. You don't necessarily like the people you have to be in air with. It's your job, you suck it up. But the fact that the higher ups allowed him to look so visibly displeased on air is more shocking to me, that they're like, hey, buck up.
But that just is indicative of what the culture was like at that time. You didn't see women in those positions.
Yeah.
Not as an authority, certainly not as a news authority. That was the purview of men. Predominantly white men.
Yeah, totally. But here, let's play that clip quickly.
All right, take a listen.
I had known Harry Reasoner because, strangely enough, when I'd gone to China with Richard Nixon, Harry Reasoner had been, I think, their correspondent there. And I'd also seen him when I was in Atlantic City before I went on the air during the Lyndon Johnson convention. And we were pals. I thought he was very wry and amusing and charming. And I guess I should have met with him beforehand and said, how do you feel about it? That never occurred to me. And he never disliked me personally. Years later, after he'd gone back to CBS, he wrote a book, he wrote an autobiography. And I did the interview with him for the Today Show, and he said, I never disliked you personally. But he didn't want a partner, he was unhappy at ABC, and he was saddled with this woman, and he would go every night across the street before the show and have, a couple of beers with the guys. It was, it's an all-male club, and they would all sit and talk, about how terrible I was. And the only way that I sort of got through was that I liked the Yankees. I used to go to the Yankee games. And I knew George Steinbrenner. I'd met him, interestingly enough, in Cuba when I went down at one point to interview Fidel. That first interview, because the Yankees were secretly there and George Steinbrenner was there. First time I'd ever heard of George Steinbrenner. And I put a microphone under him. What are you doing here? You can imagine how thrilled he was. But we became friends. And so Steinbrenner used to say, watch this, or we're going to do that. So I would come in with all of this stuff about the Yankees, and at least the stagehands would talk to me. And I would make bets with Harry, and sometimes I would win. That was the only kind of communication we had. Otherwise, the studio was cold, and I was frozen out. But it wasn't, Harry wasn't mean. He was unhappy there, and unhappy with me. And as we learned later, going through many things in his private life, that none of us knew about at the time.
That's so gracious of her.
It's literally the word that I was just about to say.
It is.
Was like the having the understanding of this was a him thing. It wasn't a me thing. And I don't hold any grudges against that. And apparently during that time, she got a telegram from John Wayne that said, don't let the bastards get you down.
Way to go, Duke.
Yeah, right? So a life, an unbelievably accomplished life, and, and not that I consider myself a journalist, but as far as someone to emulate in how you ask questions and you conduct interviews and carry yourself, absolutely.
She changed a lot of lives.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it. That's our first show of the year. We'll be back tomorrow with more fun, more information. Come back again, 11 a.m. tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, Make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.